was willing, but the flesh weak. God even knows that we are not just spirit. And God knows that the Holy Ghost that live in us, the Spirit of God in the person of the Holy Spirit that lives in us, is not all that live in us now. There's some weakness in us that's not called the Holy Ghost in us. Are you with me? So God realized if we don't keep in communication with him, I don't care who you are, you can lose heart. And when you don't realize that, you may be living a continual life of losing heart. You don't have to when you can pray. You know, I believe it will help us to take the effort to talk to God when you know the benefits of doing so. You know, a lot of times when you're asking people to do something, Sheila, a lot of times they want to know, what is in it for me? Can we get real in the house? And they'll show you rather than they can tell you. When they find out it's not really in it for them, like they want it to be for them, then you lose their service. Are you with me? But what's in it for us, you and I, no matter what we are facing or going through, we can be stronger when we talk to God. You see, it's not that when you talk to God and you pray and you open yourself up to God, it don't mean he's going to always answer your prayer the way you want it to be answered. Huh? Sometimes we may get a no from God. Watch this now. Lord, that's not what I want. When I came to pray to you, I came to pray that I would get what I wanted to get from you. Now, if I can't get from you that I asked from you, why am I going to pray? But we need to know that God knows what's best for us. And we need to know he knows what's best for us, and he deals with us through his great love for us. You see, when Adam sinned against God and he decided with his own wisdom to put fig leaves to cover his sin, God knew that wasn't sufficient. Even in the physical covering, God slew an animal and he covered him. You see, when I really understand how much we can talk about God so loved, but we really don't know the depths of that love. One of the things is just like, we feel that we know the depth of the love of a mother. Now, Felicia, you feel that you know that Janice loves you, huh? And she'll do all that she can for her children. That's been a proven fact, all right? And she do that because she has a love for her children that she would even go out that they have, that she would even sacrifice. Say, I do this, I sacrifice this, and don't have this, but I do this because I have something else that's connected to you. I have a bond of love. God has a greater bond. See, there is no greater love than his love. If I don't understand that, I'm not going to want to receive, even after I pray to him. His answer to me. You see, sometimes that I want may destroy me. Sometimes that I want may take me further away from God. Sometimes that what I want won't glorify God. Then I get mad with God because that what I want won't glorify God and God won't give it to me. Know that it won't glorify me, and then I glorify him, and then I get mad with him. I got nothing to get mad with him because he won't give me something that won't glorify him. And then we say, all glory, all honor be unto God. See, I'm going to tell you something. In the word of God, there's a lot. You can't exhaust one jot or tittle of the word of God. But I tell you what, when we start showing appreciation, little jot, dots, jots, tittle, and we begin to get the juice out of it a little bit, we realize that the word of God is packed with spiritual nutrients for you and me. I need to know I don't have to have a lot of the word of God, because every part of the word of God is filled with God, because it's God. God breathed. You see, Pastor, why you take the time? Because when we come and sit here or listen on the radio or whatever you do or read, if we don't have the proper respect for the quality of the word of God, you already start missing out on what God can do for you before you even hear. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Then he spoke a parable to them that mankind always ought to what? Pray and not lose heart. Could it be that I'm losing heart because I'm not really praying? Could it be? I know he say here, Sister Boone, if I don't, it's a possibility that I'm losing heart. So many young folk, so many old folk, so many self-centered folk, you're losing heart a lot of time, and you don't even know why you're losing heart, because you don't know the word of God say about losing heart. See, sometimes we are so much interested in embracing what folks say about life, about situations, about you, that we fail to get the info from the one who created us. He know how we work. He know how we think. There's nothing that God don't know about us. So when God give us our spiritual prescription, he gives to us with full knowledge. He got the x-ray, the CAT scan. He got everything that he needs. When he tells us what he want to give us, how he want to answer our prayer. See, it's one thing, Sister Wanda. If I'm trying to think within myself what you stand in need of, and I'm going to try to get that for you, but I could be wrong. I could be giving you something that you don't really need and that would take you away from God and that draw you not unto God, that he can draw not unto you, because I don't have full information. But not so with God. Not so. When God speaks, he speaks from a position of all knowledge. You see, sometimes all in here, you think you're real complicated. Don't know me. I'm just on a pedestal. I mean, you, but you, but and none of y'all in here. You know what I mean? I mean, you know what I mean? I'm just different. Okay. Every one of us are uniquely made. But it don't count with God. God knows every hair on your head. Know why we lose our hair? We do have on our head. He knows everything about me. And knowing that God knows everything about us, don't you and I know we try to trick him every now and then? That's right, sis. I got one laugh over here. The rest of them ought to be laughing because they know it's true. And sometimes we get spiritual on God. Yeah, you get wrecked spiritual. God, you know I am coming. They went, but now I'm here. You mean you here? You here by grace, right? Ain't got nothing to brag about. And you better watch that talk. It may be coming from the heart. And the heart may be full of pride. You call it something else, but it may just be plain old pride, which God hates. Now, I don't want to go with God that he hates. But then I need to know he hates that. I may go, and I don't mean no harm, but I didn't know he hates that. So when I go, I want to make sure that that's not displayed. I want to display something to God when I'm trying to get something from God that he hates. Y'all ain't with me this morning. But let's this is not an exhausted list. I couldn't do that because we would not leave here. And then you wouldn't come back. You say I keep you long too long anyway. Break my heart. You know, I could leave right now. Because that takes some wear and tear for me. That was pretty good that I gave you, right? Don't look, y'all looking funny now. Can I come down, Sister Duncan? Huh? I'm just messing. They give me a chance to drink some water and get my thoughts together. I'm too old now, June. If I ain't convinced people I love the Lord now, I ain't gonna be able to do it. I can't do it all over time. You just throw in the towel. Let y'all scholars take over. I'm back with you. Okay, let's go on. Okay, I just have five things we're going to look at. And the first is found in Hebrews chapter 14 to 16. We should pray for grace to help in time of need. Well, I guess I got to go in. Oh, yes. I know my help coming. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. Hold fast. He's our high priest. He have left earth. He went through where you got the clouds. He went through where you got all the planets. And he went to the third heaven. And he's seated on the right hand of the Father. And he's our high priest. Okay, next verse. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Hey, let me tell you something. I like that. I don't know about you, I have weaknesses. All right? And let me tell you something. A lot of times, Danny, other men and women who have Christian people who have weaknesses, but they don't sympathize with you. They are arrogant. They are mean spirit. Huh? Can we get? See, there's a reason the scriptures say talk about your high priest's attitude. Watch it. Because if it would tell me that I got a high priest, but he don't sympathize with me, I don't want to go to him. So God knows, oh, I don't always know what I'm doing. I don't. Okay? So don't go out here and tell somebody the pastor say you always know what he's doing. But God always knows what he's doing. So God is saying, I want you to come to me. I know you got some weakness. You got something now on earth. But when you get your new body, you don't have no weakness. When I carve you, when I mold you, when I prune you spiritually in the image of my son, you ain't going to have no. You got them weaknesses now. So God said, I'm going to call them out. But still come. Y'all ain't with me this morning. You got to get this. Don't do nothing else right now to your attention. God is speaking. But Pastor, I just thought it was you. I'm just his messenger. Anointed and appointed by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost called me and made me overseer to take care of the flock. And he said, take care of yourself first, then take care of the flock. So if I'm trying to do what the Holy Ghost told me, put your attention on Christ. Take it off the phone. Take it off of everything else. Because I'm going to tell you something. A lot of your heart is because you refuse to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. It's not that the Spirit of God is not speaking. We are not listening. We are not. How can you take heed to something you haven't listened to? I got other things I could be doing. But I dedicated my life to the Word of God. I hated school when I graduated. I was glad to get out of there. Money. We never had no money in my family. We didn't never have a lot of money. We never had an automobile. We never had a telephone. I got to go to work. Threw that cap away. Go get me a good job, make me some money. When I got that job at the air station, God said, you done made enough money. I'm going to call you in my service. God, I'm doing just fine. I'm not a bad character. No, you're not. You're not doing fine until you be obedient to me. So you may take it for a joke when you sit here, but it ain't a joke when I preach it. And I haven't just started this. My life been dedicated to this. No matter what was against me. How dare we not see that? I don't want to listen to anybody. Yeah, how great you are. I see you are. But I look at Christians, and it doesn't seem to matter who it is. We ran from church to church. Get our own little attitude, do our thing, do what you want to do. I'm amazed with that when there's so much of that word of God that speaks to our heart. And God says, if you got some weakness, you got some things you're battling with, I can sympathize with you. See, that'll preach right there. I can hang right there, Juan. Ooh. See, I can talk to him, Sheila. He know what you're going through. He know what you've been through. Don't lose heart. Sheila, don't lose heart. You hear me? This thing ain't no joke, y'all. And stop uplifting people when the word of God is going forward and they take it as a joke and you pat them on the back. You grin and laugh at their face. They need to be rebuked. Spiritually rebuked, not your fleshly rebuke. Y'all see, I'm getting tired. I'm just truthful, that's all. Maybe we can get somebody to tickle y'all ears and get you jumping the pews. Nah. don't nobody want to jump into hell. I need truth. I'm like aspirin. I'm not going to leave truth. If there's no truth, I'm gone. I'm going to leave truth. I'm going to go leave truth and embrace a lie. Okay, let me move on. Let's get the rush through then. Get y'all out of here. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with weaknesses. Plural. We got plenty of them. But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now the difference is we were tempted and we sin. Go ahead, next verse. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, are y'all with me what God is saying? First he's saying some encouraging words here, Brother Dave. First he said, man, don't stay away from me in prayer. Don't stop talking to me because you think I can't sympathize with you. Don't call me a liar because I just told you I will do that. So you can come just the way you are. But also say, you can find something when you communicate with me. See, is there something that you need and you've been looking for? You can find it at the throne of grace. You see, so sometimes we need to pray for that grace. See, one of the things when we're dealing with God, sometimes we forget, we are dealing with a perfect, I say three times, one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Ghost. Completely perfect. Person. And so a lot of times when we come to God in our weaknesses, we don't truly believe he can sympathize with us because how great he is. But also when I realize his greatness is also predicated that he cannot lie. Am I right about it? So when he said, find something, my mindset in your car is not going to abuse you, not put you down, not say I ride in your bin after you got shit, you're still in it. That's not my attitude. I know as long as you're in this flesh, you're going to have problems. When you want to do good, you may find yourself not doing what you're supposed to do. But come anyhow. Because I have prepared myself by sympathizing with you, understanding your weaknesses. I'm going to call them out. But it's still not going to stop me from giving you my grace. Then saying my grace is sufficient for you. See, a lot of folk, you go to Danny, they don't want to give you no grace. They don't deserve none. They don't earn none. I done told them two times. And they ain't obeyed me by these two times I told them. And they're back in trouble. They're back in trouble again. They doing the same old mess again. You know. And so what's going to happen? I'm going to them. I told you so. But God said, come on to me. You just keep coming, huh? See, because every day you wake up, I'm going to give you new compassion. I'm going to give you new mercy. You're not going to wake up with no stale mercy and compassion. They're brand new before me. Hey, why should I come? Tell me about you. Why do you beckon me to come to the throne of grace? What's your attitude? This is my attitude. What can I find? Grace. For what? To help you. Anybody need help in the house for something? Anybody need help for something? But God said, come. Pray. Pray for that grace. I got to pray for grace to make it another year in the pulpit. I got to pray just because 30 years of pastoring. About another 7 associate pastors. Close to my past. pastor and ministering to people. He giving me people to counsel and send over to the Pine Ministry to work over there. When you come to church, you just go to the Pine and let those kids out and I already talk to the people and they're going to let me in. And I thought of you because I have somebody over there I can trust, that Calvary can trust, and it won't be no indictment on the church because of who you're dealing with over there. I got somebody. I ain't worried about him. We're going to take him to lunch. I'm going to introduce him. And here's your man, and I'm out of there. You got it. You trust me, Pastor? Yes. When you come over here. I'm saying that, y'all. I'm trying to get through. See, because if this likes a daisy stuff, I can take it or leave it. I don't need to be preaching. I'm not doing you no good. You need somebody that's going to do you some good. Agree with that? Don't y'all agree with that? Right? What you need? I need the grace, y'all. Y'all pray for me. Okay. Because we have a faithful high priest who is compassionate. We can pray for grace and mercy to help us in our times of need. You know, a lot of times when we've done wrong, sometimes you don't want to go before the Lord because you think he's going to rake you over the coals. Am I right about it? You want to go somewhere and hide. But he said, come. You know, he didn't say, come because you are strong. Come and bring me your strength. You spiritual lady, Sister Boone. You go to Bible study, Sister Boone. You pray. You pray strong, Sister Boone. You come. He didn't say that, did he? He spoke on our weaknesses. Come. Oh. See, a lot of times, folk who think they're real spiritual, they think, I come because I'm spiritual. It's not so bad that they think that way. You know what's worse? It's not so bad they think that. They may have their own reasons. But it's bad when you believe that. You believe what they're portraying. They may have their own reason why they do that. God may have brought them from a mighty long way. Are you following me? And not that they are trying to do that. They're just appreciative of the goodness that God have done for them. But I'm telling you something. Go to him. And I want you to take pause of this message when you go. Okay, let me move on. Next thing, we should pray for the sick. James 5:16-17. You see, our Savior was also concerned about the physical well-being of people as well as their spiritual welfare. So we got to pray for the doctors. We pray for the sick and the shut-in, the prayer warriors. You guys pray for the homes and different things that's going on in this world because we don't want to be so heavenly-minded, as folks say, and no earthly good. But the truth of the matter, when I get truly heavenly minded, that's when I can do earth's good. That's the truth of it. But watch this. But if I don't treat my spirituality or my maturity the right way that God would have me once I mature in the Word of God. See, when you mature in the Word of God truly, you're supposed to be humble. You're supposed to get humble. All that arrogance, that means God have not yet got you where he wants you to be. It blew my mind when at my home church when one of the professors from Luther Rice came down to speak at the church, and he had all these preachers and all this was around in the fellowship hall, and the professor said that my pastor is one of my students. And I, right then, he said that with all those pastors around that table and everything, somebody would have a funny look on their face. I knew, so I started looking. Not at him, at them. I did. Because I could see the look. And I think someone would say, well, why is that? My pastor's in seminary. I'm the professor. God called me to do research, deep research, as a scholar of the Word of God. But I'm not a pastor. Now, being a scholar of the Word of God, I get deep. When I got deep, I found out God called pastors. I know all about biblically what a pastor is supposed to be and what he is. So the guy, I chose him to be my pastor because it lined up with my scholarly work from scripture, finding out what one's supposed to be. I said, looker here. Yeah, my student is my pastor. I go to his church. And he comes to the college seminary. He's in seminary, and I'm the professor. I'm one of the professors at Luther Rice, same place where Dr. Stanley graduated from. And me and Pastor Baker used to go to Luther Rice, and I remember driving to Florida to one of the modules, coming back, and I went to sleep and rolled off the side of the road, and Baker said, that's the end of that. But we had some good times. But what I'm saying to you, man, that's great wisdom. I'm teaching this guy, and he's my pastor. Let me tell you why it's great wisdom. He understood, it don't matter what I know. God knows more than me. He said, what do you mean by that, pastor? God knew who he wanted to call as overseer. Now, watch this now. It may not be my pick, but watch this. Because I believe in the wisdom of God, if it was his pick, it's all right with me. Anybody with me? Then after he broke it down to them, because I think he set that thing up, because the faces did come. Won't you, you should have somebody else, not one of your students. Yeah. No, I saw in my student what the Bible say about he ain't perfect. Y'all catch that later. So let me. I'm trying. Okay. Let's look at this. Steve, I tell you what. James 5, 16 and 17. But James 1, 5 and 7 coming behind that. And 1 John 1, 9, then I can move on. Okay. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Okay. Pray that you may be healed. Now, my job and your job is to pray for the healing. It's God's job to answer yes or no. All right? That ain't my job. My job is to pray for it. But his job is to answer the way he want to answer it. All right? Okay. Now, what I want, as I move to these other scriptures, you still hold fast to Hebrews. Carry that with you wherever I go. Carry that with you. Prop it up against this, that, you know, the throne of grace as we are praying. See that with all the rest of scripture. Don't leave that and just go with me here. I'll be walking with. Hold that. Wherever we go, you can carry the throne of grace. Okay. All right. Thank you, Brother Parker. He says, confess your trespasses to one another. I'm at the throne of grace. You know I'm weak. Got some trespasses, but it's okay. I can take them. I can confess them to one another, and God is listening. God can hear, but it's okay, Danny. I know God's attitude when he's listening to my shortcoming. You see why I want to carry Hebrews with you? See, if you don't see the chain link of scripture, precept on precepts, you're going to miss something. You're going to take it out of whole. Precept on. Okay. Confess your trespass to one another and pray for one another, all right, that you may be healed. And then he comes back and tells you, he said, let me tell you something, what you're doing, what type of person. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. See, sometimes you guys who are righteous people. Sometimes we don't think our prayers avail of nothing. So sometimes we don't pray because we don't believe nothing happening. But here he says, the fervent prayer. Be earnest in your prayer. Huh? Be serious about your prayer. He says, something is happening. Now you know what? Let me say this. Hope this encourages us. Sometimes you fit the bill. That's who you are. And you pray. I want you to know something is happening. Now, here's the thing. It may not be what you want that's happening. But because of who you are, you're a fervent prayer warrior. Come on. And you are righteous. It's going to do much. Just because it ain't doing what you and I think it ought to do and what you're asking for, God cannot lie. It's doing much. Doing much, Janice. We need to get the nuances of the Word of God and not just a bird's eye view. When we can put this thing together and understand our hesitance of going to God or praying or putting ourselves in a position to be blessed by God, we will stop forfeiting because there's so much of Scripture we're not getting because we're not putting it together. Keep the throne of grace. Where I go, carry that with you. Am I making any sense, anybody? Okay. All right. Go to 17th verse and let me move on. And I tell you something else. Sister Bona, I'm picking on the people. It's okay. Can I get some help too? Okay, y'all pick on me too. Call me long-winded. Realize when you're leaving in prayer and look like nothing has happened, don't lean to your understanding, your thinking about what you're doing and what's happening. Lean to the Word of God, what the Word of God said. It may not be what you want, may not be on your timetable, but take this as a consolation. It's availing much. It's doing something, Danny. God don't always pull back the veil and uncover everything he's doing in our life. Some things you're going to find out when you get the glory. See, Job didn't know everything that God was doing. He was a righteous man, testified by God, eschewed evil. Yet he didn't know all that God was doing. He was praying to God, and yet his prayers was availing much. But Job didn't understand he wasn't getting his requests. See, sometimes our prayer is not all about our requests, but it's all about God's request. God's request said, come to the throne. God's request, pray for them. That's his request. We get so wrapped up in our request going to the throne of God, we forget God's request of us. See, my job not to preach Ricks. That ain't my job. My job not to preach whether you like me or dislike me. That ain't my job. My job is that God get the glory. See, God said, I can use whoever I want to hurl, to be a hurler of my word. But I chose before the foundation of the world, for you in your mother's womb, I chose you in all my wisdom. So it's all about us all the time. Sometimes God had you doing something, and it's about him. What Job going through, it wasn't about Job, it was between God and Satan. See, God was going to show Satan, I know what I'm talking about that guy. That guy, you hit him, he may growl, may even say some things foolish. Huh? He may do some things he's hurting at that time. Huh? But let me tell you, he's going to be steadfast with me. And then he say, he's going to speak like this. Though you slay me, yet will I trust you. You see, sometimes while you're being slain in your situation, look like you're being slain, feel like you're being slain, God said, but I want to know, will you trust me with it? See, God says, you'll trust me when it look like I'm blessing you. But as soon as you get in trouble or sickness come, you look at me as though I've lost all my power. Though I've lost all my compassion. Though I've lost all my mercy toward you. Look at you now. Let me tell you something. You can trust me with your big situation. You can trust me. But you got to see your situation. It ain't all about you. That's where we get confused. Watch this. My situation and your situation, saint, cannot be all about you, because you ain't your own no more. You are born with Christ. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to God. Someone else got responsibility for you now that you're a new creation in Christ. See, old things have passed away. Even my old thinking got to change. That's why I'm preaching this way. You say, why is he preaching like that? Because I want to change your mind. I want you to love this word so much that you get deeper than I ever thought of going. I want to stir you up. I'm like Peter. As long as I'm in this tent, as long as God let me live, I not that you don't know. Don't always feel, that's not what we're saying here. But I got to stir you up. I remember when my work, when I was a machinist, at the dredging company, I didn't understand it then, but as I got wisdom, I understood it. My boss manager used to tell me, "Say, Ricks, I do not care about you getting hot with me. I'm the only black one in there, the only black one they ever had, the only one ever got another one at the dredging company, making some real good money." And I went in the machine shop to get a trade. And God, even back then, gave me some wisdom to go in there, knowing that I was coming in there, and ask the guys to show me how to operate some of this stuff. And they were just showing off, but they didn't think I was coming. So I was ahead of the game when I went in there. Then when I got all the training, I went to the base. But here's the thing, what I'm saying. Sometimes, even when it hurt, you got to listen. Because it's for your welfare. Okay. Elijah was, now God bringing on a witness. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. He's bringing that witness to give the glory to God. He said, what about Elijah? It was about the God he prayed to. So when you and I begin to look past the messenger and see the one who given the message, you begin to glorify God. Not only that, let me tell you something. A lot of times you have heard things that you would say. I know a lot of times my son Lamont, God may give me something or whatever like that. And he's a very smart young man, a great preacher. He's in depth. But he'll come back and say, Daddy, I didn't get that. But what I like about Lamont, he's honest. And I know what he's talking about. He's talking about some. Yeah, he said, now, I done read that. And I can tell you, I got all of this. When you hear certain things, I didn't get this. What he's saying, not only did he didn't get that, but what he did get during that sermon, it was valuable enough for me to keep, to respond to you, and now I'm going to use this. Because if it was not important, Daddy, I wouldn't even mention what I got. But that little thing I got, out of that scripture, do I got many things? And we know we can't exhaust no scripture. But I'm telling you something. Expect, when you set, you heard the word of God, expect to get something. And be disappointed when you don't. If you know everything, you ain't gonna never get. There's some brothers out there. They'll tell you flat-footed. Okay, none of them TV preachers or nobody add nothing to me. I'm already smarter than all of them. I said, Lord have mercy, you need some mental help. I'm serious, that's what you need. See, if you don't get that mental help, ain't no need to tell me no spiritual. Let me move. Y'all ain't praying for me like you are too, are you? Okay, I know you. I got you praying for me to shut up. That's what that is. Okay, the rain and it didn't rain. Okay, so what he's saying, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Right there, when he described Elijah, he is saying that he had a human nature like us. The power to stop that rain and all of that came from the God. So when you go to the throne of grace, you are going before a God that's able to do more than you ask or think. And he have given you the invitation to come. Don't let your weaknesses stop you. Because they already know about them, still come. Okay, let's move on. We pray that whatever we pray, that it will glorify God. And you see, praying in Jesus' name, that has the idea of how would Jesus pray about your situation. Would he pray the same way that you would? See, Christ want us to pray, but he also want us to glorify the Father, that he may glorify the Father in the Son. That's John 14, 12 through 14. Okay, I'm through with 17. Rabbans. James 1:5. Okay, 1:5 says, if any of you likes wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to you. Many things I like the wisdom about that particular thing. Now, this is where we get confused. It's not necessarily you don't have wisdom. And that's when people get upset, when you tell me I don't have wisdom. You know, even when Jesus Christ has been made wisdom unto me. No. You don't have wisdom about everything. Okay? Every situation. But I got access to that wisdom. All right? So the reason I'm asking God for it, because he lives in me. And he bid me, remember, say, wherever we go, carry what? The throne of grace. Carry Hebrews with you. I may go to another scripture, but don't drop that. Okay? All right. So true wisdom is the gift of God. It's called divine knowing how. Know how. And brother, when you get a chance, put Proverbs 4:7 and Proverbs 9:10 on the board for me. Can you do that? I know I didn't give you that one, so if not, we'll go to the last one. I want them to see that, but we'll go to the last one. Is we should pray for forgiveness. Got it? Okay. It says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And all you're getting, get understanding. Amen. Make sure you get that understanding. And we're getting it. Because sometimes when I try to use my understanding, I never understand a thing the right way. And so if I don't understand it the right way, everything I do from that standpoint is going to be wrong because I started off wrong.
See, I started out thinking I knew. Because I thought I knew, Danny, I didn't ask God for the proper wisdom. So I went on thinking I got it. And so everything I did with that situation, Jackie, was wrong because I started on the wrong premises. And then when I got myself in trouble and I looked back, I didn't do that thing in spiritual wisdom. Are you following me? But now that I've caused the chaos on this end, and I understand I wasn't operating in that spiritual wisdom, now I need to ask God. Now I'm serious now because I messed up. I'm serious about getting God's wisdom, God's know-how to even try to fix this stuff or go on without it crushing me. Are you with me? Okay, all right. Some of us got a situation like that. It ain't all over. Look at your neighbor's table. I don't care what you're going through. It is not over. And don't you give up. The word of God is speaking loud and clear. Y'all know y'all got some situation. Don't sit here like you ain't got none. I had nothing but you. Okay. All right. Last one. We should pray for forgiveness. 1 John 1:9. Thank God for it. We have sins of omission, commission, and sins of disposition that need to be confessed and forsaken that we can stay in fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a good thing? Amen. I can't lose my salvation, but I can lose my fellowship. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You want to put the next verse up? You didn't have that. I know I didn't give it to you, but okay. Well, I'm coming on down. If we what? That we have not, we make him and his what? Don't know. Not only do God want us to hear his word, but he wants us to put his word in our heart that we may not sin against him. Because I'm going to tell you something. You can hear a message like this and find yourself during the week or next week some of these situations and forget all about how to get out of them or how to be blessed though you're in a situation. Because you forgot that God know about your weakness. And he still tell you, come talk to me. Come talk to me, baby.